big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Now we ran out of time with our lovely Dr. David last month, so we're going to continue with vitamins. Welcome back, David.
Thank you for getting me back. Thank you.
We like to get you back.
It's nice to be wanted.
Oh, bless you. Now, I think we just about did A, vitamin A, probably the start of B last month. But one that intrigues me that we didn't get round to was vitamin B6 and 12. Now, I take vitamin B6 and 12 tablets, and I honestly can't remember why I'm taking them.
Because they're nice to take.
Yeah. It sounds good.
Yeah, well, I think that you remember from when last week we were talking about not last month, my goodness.
Yeah.
Understanding really vitamin it's really about understanding what they do, and I think last time we talked about the fact that these were little molecules that had really big responsibilities within the body. They help promote biochemical reactions within the body, which make us work. So it's a bit like putting sort of various things in your petrol to make the engine work better. These are really important. And the B vitamin complex are dissolvable vitamins rather than being oil based or fat based vitamins. They actually constitute a group of vitamins that dissolve in water, and they have they were initially called B, but they broke it all down and found that actually there was a lot of different molecules within that group that were being useful within the body, and that has since been broken down into several B vitamins, which the viewers will be familiar with: B1, B6, B3, B12. And a lot of other Bs. So B6 and B12 are really quite important. B6 is particularly good at helping protect against memory loss, some cancers, and so on. It's found in foods such as leafy green vegetables and root vegetables and non-citrus fruits. It's important to help with nerves and nerve function and gut lining, etc. And vitamin B12 is very important in the pathways that are used to break down food and make energy. And so that's a very crucial one. But it also it leads to fatigue and weakness as well, and it also affects blood cell production. And people may remember last week we talked about this factor in the stomach called intrinsic factor, which is needed, and that's produced by the cells in the stomach, and is the mechanism by which vitamin B12 gets absorbed from food into the body. So if that's low in the stomach, then no matter how much vitamin B12 you actually eat, it doesn't get into the body effectively, and that's why some people need to have injections, which means it then gets into the bloodstream via the muscle depot that the injection gives you. So the vitamin B12 problem is more often due to a stomach lining problem, intrinsic factor problem, than it is necessarily from not eating enough. And that's really very, very good, because it's good for energy, as I said, and that's very important for what we need to do every day when we are going around our daily activities. So people who are fatigued, who are tired, may not necessarily be purely anemic, but they may be deficient in vitamin B12, so may feel washed out and tired as a result of that.
So all these people that are deficient in a vitamin, I mean, really, our bodies should make it naturally, shouldn't we? But I know that certain foods, like you said, can help, but it's something our body is not doing on its own. It needs either the food or a supplement.
No, the body doesn't make vitamins. The body consumes and metabolizes vitamins. Vitamins, these are things that we don't make for ourselves. They're things that come from outside that we put into our body. So some deficiencies may be due to dietary deficiencies. So, for instance, things like B6 comes from meat and poultry and fish. So people who are vegetarian can become B6 deficient, and that's why they need to take supplementation. So if people have got selected diets, then that can be a problem. And B12 is the same. It again comes from meat and fish, but it also comes from things like cheese and milk. But again, people who are strict vegan or vegetarian may have themselves deficient in that purely from their food choices. So that's really the major factor for people being deficient. But as I said to you before, B12 is also associated with the inability to take the food from the stomach into the bloodstream if there's this intrinsic factor missing. So it could be a combination of either intake or stomach problems.
Right. Can people, we're talking about deficiency, can people have too much of either vitamin B6 or 12?
Well, you can always have too much of a vitamin, but the point is the body doesn't really worry about that because it just gets rid of it in most cases. We talked, I think, last time about vitamin A being toxic and causing problems, and we talked about the polar explorers who ate seals and polar bears in the early days, and the liver is packed full of vitamin A, and too much can cause toxicity. But over a long chronic period of time, the body just excretes it. So people who take supplements who have normal vitamin levels will probably just be excreting the excess vitamins that they're consuming. So it's a matter of knowing what your baselines are and then supplementing where the baselines may be and not sufficient, rather than taking vitamins because it, you know, because there's a big thing at the moment, isn't there, about vitamin supplementation and micro biological molecule supplementation. And the vitamins are one of those areas where people will go down to Holland and Barrett and buy multivitamin. But often that if it's not directed based on biochemical understanding, then it may just be wasting money. But and sometimes it's very beneficial, particularly after operations or after an illness or whatever, where people do need supplementation to help the body get back to normality.
Yeah, because we don't know, do we? It's actually just reminded me, David, why I went. I remember I just went for some routine blood tests for something else. And when I went back to the doctor for the results, she said, "Are you tired?" I said, "No." She said, "Well, you should be absolutely shattered and not walking about," she said, "because you're very low in vitamin B6 and B12. And I didn't. I would never have known. I didn't feel ill. I didn't feel tired. But apparently I was low.
Yeah. And did you feel better after supplementation?
I don't think so, no. I mean, I'm still taking it because I just think I should, but not really, but hey-ho, it's got to... I mean, obviously, it was the truth.
No, this is the problem, isn't it? I think people's symptoms, and we know from studies that the deficiencies lead to these symptoms, but not everybody expresses them in the same way. So people who are anemic, for instance, may not feel tired or fatigued, particularly if it's come on in a chronic way. And the body's adapted and got used to it.
Yeah. And where do these letters come from? I often think when they say, like, Hurricane Norman or Hurricane Sandy, where do they get the names? Where do these letters come from? Is it the periodic table or...?
What, the vitamin A, vitamin B thing?
Yeah.
That's right. It's just started with... the first one we found is called A, and the next one we... found is called B, and the next one is C.
Simple as
and
that.
The next one is C, and then E, and then there was a vitamin F and a vitamin G, and we got up to K, which is there. But then along the lines, they found that actually, you know, some of them were actually subsets of B, which is why there's a lot of B vitamins, because a lot of those were given other names originally. And it was just named based on the alphabet. So there was nothing more clever than that. But it, you know, obviously the over time, as is always with science, we find things actually categorized in a similar group. So, you know, some of the higher alphabetical vitamins have been renamed as B vitamins.
Right. Okay.
Based on their water solubility and the fact that they have similar effects on the body and so on and so forth. And they're similar molecules, but they're related molecules.
Yeah, because there's zinc, isn't there? But we don't call it vitamin Z.
No, we don't. No, because it is obviously it's an element, and it has a different function. And we don't call it vitamin Z based on molecules. These are actually compound molecules which you know have a complicated biochemical structure, and they are protein more often than not. Well, they're all protein, and they therefore affect metabolic processes in the body, and things like zinc as well. They are molecules that allow some of the body's biochemical reactions to work better. What we would call enzymes or enabling molecules to allow the mitochondria and the cell membranes and the nerves to all work that more efficiently.
Now, what about vitamin D, David? Because it's surprising, isn't it, how many people over here need it when we live in a sunny country?
Yes, well, vitamin D is one of those ones that always catches people out, and it's really, you know, quite an important one. So vitamin D is a vitamin that we consume. It's a fat-soluble vitamin, but it has to be converted into its active ingredient by sunlight. So it gets consumed in a precursor state, and then sunlight converts it into active molecule. And it's really important in controlling and managing the calcification of bones and also nerve function. And it also has a role in the immune system. So three very important areas. So part of the problem is obviously that we down here, we're wise to the sun, and we keep ourselves covered in sunblock most of the time, or hide in the shade. So even though we live in a sunny climate, we actually don't get direct sunlight as much as maybe holidaymakers do. So there is a surprising amount of vitamin D deficiency in the patients that we treat here, and we see it much more than you'd anticipate. So, you know, we were talking towards the end of the last program about a lady who was asking about what she should do, and maybe a 20 minutes, half an hour in the sun is not bad for the vitamin D side of things, with a light sunblock on, or maybe sitting out when the sun rays are over the top, not over the top, when they're going down, and you're still getting the vitamin conversion from ultraviolet light. So it's really that causes the problem here. And often again, coming back to the dietary things, you know, vitamin D is really an important molecule that is diet driven. So again, fish like tuna, fatty fishes really, and milk and stuff. And that comes back again to diet choices. You have to eat those things in order to consume enough. It's not something you get from meat per se. You get it from fish and milk. And that's why you see fortified milk, etc., in the shops.
Yeah.
And if people haven't got that as a regular part of their diet, they're going to slowly become depleted. And a lot of people might just eat meat and not eat fish, and it's important to look at the food sources and where it comes from.
Am I right in thinking egg yolks contain
egg yolks, yeah. Absolutely, egg yolks are very good. Some, as I say, some products in the supermarket, milk in particular, and if I remember rightly, sometimes you see some of the fruit juices are fortified, I think.
Yes.
Orange juice sometimes is fortified. That's simply because, you know, the supermarket people know that people don't necessarily eat the natural foods that contain it, so that they add it to other foods to try and keep people's levels, you know, in the right levels for health.
Yeah. And of course, as far as the sun's concerned, there's a balance. I mean, we should get out in it 10 to 15 minutes a day, maybe without protection. But I understand why people are careful, because you don't want the risk of skin cancer, do you?
That's always the balance, isn't it? It's the balance of too much sun versus not enough sun. And a little and often, I think, is good. Burning is clearly the bad thing for skin cancers. And obviously, the burning process is the thing that really triggers skin cancer development, but it's always delayed by several decades. It's, you know, you get sunburn today, you're not going to see the skin cancer tomorrow. You're going to see it in 20 or 30 years' time.
Yeah, if only we knew that back in the 70s and 80s, eh?
Oh, tell me about it.
I remember some holidays. Yeah. And then you'd have to put yogurt on to stop the stinging.
Exactly, yeah. And then...
Well, it's always great to talk to you. If it's okay with you, David, because again, we're out of time, we will carry on with this next month and start with vitamin E, if that's all right.
Okay, no, that's fine. It's a subject that keeps on giving, doesn't it?
It does. It's a gift that keeps on giving. So just give us your contact details and website.
So we're at the GibMed International Hospital in Gibraltar. We're at www.gibmed.gi. We are telephone number, Gibraltar number plus 350, 200, 4, and then 9999. So it's 49999. So that's where we're at. With the border opening up, hopefully the people down here on the southern end of the Costa who want to come to English-speaking hospitals and meet English-speaking doctors, we're here, open for business, and we're growing well, and it's all good.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to chatting again next month. Thank you, David. Take care.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Have a good weekend. Bye
you
now.
Too. Bye.